How jaded are New Jersey voters when it comes to their politicians? Well, it takes a lot for them to do a double take, make it a point to watch what happens when an elected official has criminal charges against them, such as the case with what U.S. Senator Robert Menendez is facing and will go to trial over this coming week. What's becoming equally interesting to watch along with the Menendez trial are some of the actions in the political as well as the media world. They're taking place in tandem with that. Here to discuss all this is the president of American Commitment, Phil Kirpin. How are you today, Phil?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great to have you here. AmericanCommitment.org is the website, as I mentioned, and we've talked about this briefly. And if you go over to our website, issuesandideasradio.com, on the downloads page, had up there for, I guess, now almost 2 years now since the initial indictment documents were released, our copy of the indictment of Robert Menendez and his cohort, which has been one of the most downloaded documents off of that page, by the way, which, again, I think gives testimony to the interest of this case and everything behind it. But give us a brief overview. When he goes into the courthouse on September 6th, which is next week, what's, at least for the time being, U.S. Senator Robert Menendez facing?
Well, he's facing bribery charges, fraud, conspiracy, and so forth, all the stuff you might expect for a senator who sold his office, essentially. And what happened in this case was he basically sold his office to live the high life, the international high life. He's not a wealthy man, one of the least wealthy members of the Senate. And yet, because of this arrangement he had with his co-defendant, he was able to have access to a private jet, a 12-seat Challenger jet, very nice jet. They were jetting all over the place to luxury resorts, including his co-defendant's private villa at Casa de Campos in the most luxurious resort in the Dominican. He also had him pay for trips to Paris and other resorts and so forth. And they partied with all kinds of international supermodel girlfriends. And Menendez, in return for all of this, took several official actions. And this will be one of the crucial things that will be determined at trial, is whether these were official actions or not. His defense strategy is to say these were just favors for a friend. They were not the official actions of a senator. But what they include were he got visas for all of the girlfriends, and they've got his chief of staff in an email saying none of them would have received visas if not for the intervention of Senator Menendez. He tried to steer a port security contract in the Dominican Republic worth hundreds of millions of dollars to this guy, Melgin, who's an eye doctor by trade, by the way. So the idea he should be running port security is a little bit ridiculous on its face.
Yeah.
And then perhaps most significantly, he tried to stop Spike and the investigation into Medicare fraud. And it was money stolen from me and you and all of your listeners, taxpayers. It was paying for this fancy international high life, because Melgin, the guy with the private jet and the resorts and so forth, the co-defendant in this case, has already been convicted in a separate case of Medicare fraud, 67 counts. He stole over $100 million from Medicare by systematically overbilling Medicare for the procedures he was doing. And one of the central allegations in the Menendez trial is that Menendez went to bat for Melgin to try to get the Medicare fraud investigation closed, dismissed, ended. In fact, this is pretty remarkable, he met with then HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius in Harry Reid's U.S. Capitol office, then the Democratic leader of the U.S. Senate, and asked her to end the investigation. And she didn't say, like, no, that's crazy, that's unethical, I'm going to report you. Instead, she said, are you sure I have the legal authority to do that? And Melgin and Menendez were having a legal memo prepared for her, arguing that she did have that authority when the Daily Caller story broke about the plane trips and the resorts and the women and everything else. And so she ended up not doing it for them. And, of course, it did result in the fraud conviction that I mentioned. So that's really the heart of the matter here, is whether the things he did for this guy constituted official acts under the bribery statute, and the defense will argue they did not. They'll say these guys were just friends. The prosecution, however, has over 20,000 pages of evidence. They've got all kinds of emails, text messages. I think they have a very, very strong case.
The indictment alone is 68 pages. So, and when you see the frequent use of the words solicited and accepted and concealed, that's not a good thing if you're the defendant.
Well, right, and the concealment is a big deal here, because he did not disclose any of these gifts on his ethics forms. He didn't pay for them. He didn't report his contributions. And after he was caught in the first time, after the Daily Caller reported the story, he said there were only two jet trips. And he said, it was an oversight, and there were only two, and I'm going to reimburse for them. And then it ended up there were more than a dozen. And so, I mean, he was continuing to lie even as this was all unraveling.
A couple of interesting side notes, too. The prosecution, the feds, they're not even open to the idea of a plea bargain. So that just, again, adds to the fact that they must believe they have a lot of stuff, as you mentioned, 20,000 pages of evidence. And apparently Melgen, who's facing life in jail off of all the charges he's already been convicted of, he doesn't, at least at this point, sound like he wants to pony up any information and try to lessen that blow.
Yeah, it's interesting. The government agreed to postpone the sentencing for his Medicare fraud conviction, which came down in April, until after the bribery trial. So the government is at least considering, I think, trying to make some kind of deal with him that might wrap those charges in. But so far, you know, he says he's not willing to make a deal. And so he might be loyal to the end to his friend, your distinguished senior senator.
Or maybe I'm watching too many political thrillers. Maybe Melgen's just afraid of what might happen to him if he squawks.
Well, I don't know. I want to go there. But look, I mean, these are not good men. I think you read this stuff, you see how they were living. I mean, a guy who has no source of wealth and lives on a salary of $174,000 like Senator Menendez should not be partying at luxury resorts and flying all over the world on a private jet. That doesn't smell right. And I don't think the jury's going to think that this is okay. I mean, the problem with the defense theory here is they're saying, oh, these were just friends. These weren't official actions. And they're going to try to rely on the Bob McDonnell Supreme Court case, which, they said that he didn't take any official actions, which was, I think, a questionable decision. And, of course, that got Shelley Silver off on appeal and so forth. But the judge in this case, William Walls, has already rejected the motion to dismiss based on the McDonnell decision. He said that he will rule on it again after the prosecution presents their case. But I think it's very likely he's going to let the jury decide whether these are official acts or not. And that's very bad news for Menendez, because no matter what the jury instruction is, and I'm sure that the jury instruction will be exactly what the Supreme Court says it should be, so I don't think it's going to be a risk of being overturned on appeal. The jury instruction is going to be exactly right. But I just, you know, jurors, regular people from Newark, New Jersey, who are hearing about this and all of the specifics, I just can't see how they acquit him. I can't. So I think the biggest day of this trial is going to be the day the prosecution rests and they make that motion to dismiss, because if the McDonnell precedent is going to save Menendez, in my opinion, it's going to be on the motion to dismiss. It's going to be the judge who says so, not the jury. And so I think if that motion to dismiss fails, he's in big, big trouble.
But when you compare the volume of acts and the amount of monies in the Menendez case versus the McDonnell case, I mean, it's the scale is totally tipped, almost standing straight up just with the sheer difference of those two cases.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I also think, look, the other big difference is the guy who was buying a Rolex watch for Governor McDonnell, you know, he was buying it with his own money. Melgen was buying all this stuff with money stolen from Medicare.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that Menendez did in exchange was try to make the Medicare fraud investigation go away. So this has a whole other level of sort of corruption and intertwinement between the official act and the thing of value that was provided, the bribe, because it was our money stolen from us via the Medicare fraud that was paying for all of this, paying for the crazy lifestyle with the jets and the resorts and the women and everything else. And then he went to bat to kill the investigation, to keep the money flowing. So I just think this is, the fact pattern here is absolutely devastating. The other problem that Menendez has is the reason this has taken 2.5 years to go to trial is he spent 2 years pursuing this argument that his actions were so official that they were essentially the same thing as giving a speech on the floor of the U.S. Senate, and therefore they were constitutionally protected under the speech or debate clause, and he couldn't be prosecuted for them. And that argument was rejected at district court. It was rejected at the Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. He appealed to the Supreme Court. They declined to take the case. Now he's coming back at trial and saying, well, I didn't take any official actions at all, after spending 2 years saying my actions were so official they were like a speech on the Senate floor. And, if you read the government's response brief to his motion to dismiss, it's very compelling on this point. They say, look, he made the opposite factual assertions for 2 years when that served his purpose than what he's now claiming. And I think that's going to make it much harder for him to win on this defense strategy, saying he didn't take any official act.
So we're Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. AmericanCommitment.org is the website about the Robert Menendez trial starting this coming weekend. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Strange thing, too, is short of the Daily Caller and a little bit of Pride here, I've talked about it here often as well, there's really been, as far as national media, an absence of coverage until now. Just the past week saw the New York Times finally get to the story, saw CNN finally get to this story. Is that a sign that the media's starting to consider this conviction a possibility, and they want to save it. They don't want to look bad that like they were giving cover to a crooked politician if he winds up being convicted?
Well, look, I'm amazed they've been able to downplay it as much as they have. I mean, this case has absolutely everything you could want in a sensationalistic case that's going to drive ratings and clicks and everything else. And yet, you know, other than a little burst of coverage around the indictment, they've really done almost nothing until right now, right when the trial's starting and they're sort of waking up to it. But even now, I mean, look, do you think the national networks are going to be doing stand-ups outside the courthouse in Newark? I somehow doubt that they will.
No.
You know, so I think they're going to downplay it to the extent they can. But remember, if this conviction comes down sometime in mid or late October, this could throw a huge monkey wrench into all of the major political and legislative fights that are going on, because even if he's convicted, his resignation or expulsion from the Senate is not automatic. And if he says, if the Democrats say, look, he's not going to resign until after January 16th, Inauguration Day, because we want the next governor to pick his successor rather than Governor Christie, they could try to play politics and drag their feet. And it could be a big political fight over this question of whether he's going to be allowed to stay in the Senate for a month after being convicted or not. And that could put, by the way, a lot of pressure on Democrats from, you know, square states in the middle of America, where they're not going to be, I think they're not going to take very kindly to the idea of allowing a convicted felon bribe taker to remain in the Senate for political advantage. And so there could be a lot of jockeying over the post-conviction politics also.
And it would take 15 Democrats to join with all the Republicans to make that happen. Some estimate that could take over a year if they did want to drag it out as much as they possibly could. And strangely, now in New Jersey, even the state Democrats are thinking of this as a potential what-if, because of all people, you have former senator who resigned in disgrace back in 2002, Robert Torricelli, starting to step back in
amazing,
the spotlight.
Amazing.
Saying,
the Torricelli comeback is, I mean, if that's what happened, pretty unbelievable. But I will say this. I'd love to see a Republican in the seat, but if it ends up being Torch, I mean, he voted for every Bush tax cut. I mean, he was, you know, on economic and business issues, he was one of the better Democrats, even though, you know, he was corrupt and everything else.
Yeah, he never walked in political lockstep. If he had a problem with something Democrats are doing, and he said, I still have the audio from those days, he would come on to media and swing a hammer at the Democrats just as easy as he would Republicans.
Well, I'm thinking if the vacancy does occur while Christie's still governor, I think he should appoint himself and just come down here and be, you know, President Trump's wrecking ball in the Senate, because he's got nothing else to do. He didn't get the FAN job.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, he's going to have to find a new beach to hang out on, too, I guess. So,
yeah,
man.
Right. Being a senator for a year, I think, would be a lot of fun for him and highly entertaining for the rest of us.
And for you listening here in New Jersey, just for the special added attraction, Donald Norcross, who's currently a member of the House and is the brother of probably the last standing political boss in the country, George Norcross, is being pushed too. And George is doing a fundraiser for Democratic governor candidate Phil Murphy. So if the timeline plays out for a Democrat to get nominated, obviously the Norcross family is going to fall into that picture as well. So there's a lot of stuff happening. And it's just one story. And again, it's amazing that with all these elements that Phil and I just presented for your ears here, that it's not getting the significant attention it certainly deserves. It's almost like a John LeClaire novel when you think of all the elements in it. Learn more about the work of American Commitment, all the issues they put a focus on above and beyond this one, AmericanCommitment.org. He is the president of American Commitment, Phil Kirpin. Phil, thanks for being here today and for the information about all this.
All right, have a good one.